I'm going to call to order our special meeting of the Stanton City Council, the Housing Authority, a joint meeting for 5:45. And we'll be going into closed session. So would you let us know what our topic is, please?
Don't mind, can I call roll call first, please?
No, we go ahead.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Torres.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairperson Van.
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Schaubert.
Here.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Mayor and Council, there's three items on closed session tonight. One relates to property negotiations on the listed addresses. One is exposure to litigation, and one is litigation directly. Those are the items.
Okay, I'm going to adjourn our meeting and we'll be back. So don't go away at home. Okay, I'm going to call back to order our regular meeting of February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. We have a report out of closed session.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. There's nothing to report.
Okay, thanks. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Torres.
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairperson Van.
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Schaubert.
Here. Okay, if you'll please all rise. I think we have a representative from Janet Wynn's office, right? Would you please sit us tonight? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call roll. Tell me it was a right
number. Mr. Mayor, all members are here and present. We'll now move on to special item 8, special presentations and awards, which we have none. And Mr. Mayor, next item is consent calendar.
Okay, all items on the consent calendar be taken in one motion, unless something needs to be taken off, either by staff. Was anyone in the public asked for any item to be called?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, anybody have anything they would like to discuss? All right, is there a motion?
Motion.
Okay, we have a first. Alice got that, and Gary was second. Please call roll.
Mayor, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Van, a second by Councilmember Taylor. I'll now proceed with the roll call vote. Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Torres?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Mayor Pro Tem Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Chairman Schaubert.
Thank you. The only comment I was going to make was on item number 9G. We are looking into the feasibility of putting out RFP and purchasing that ourselves rather than paying a yearly fee for that. So I think that's going to be really good. Okay. We are now at public hearings, item 10A. This is consideration of an ordinance to adopt the 2022 California Building and Related Model Construction Codes. This will be our second reading. And before we do that, I am going to have a public hearing opened up. So we'll open up public hearing. Anybody want to comment on item 10A? Okay, I believe. Yes, go ahead.
Good evening, all Mayor and City Council members. Before you this evening, we have consideration of an ordinance to adopt the 2022 California Building and Related Model Construction Codes. This will be the second reading for approval of ordinance number 1128, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton, California, amending Division 1 of Title 16 and Chapter 17.08 of Title 17 of the Stanton Municipal Code, pertaining to the adoption of the 2022 edition of the California Building Code, Building Standards Code, consisting of the California Building, Residential, Plumbing, Mechanical, Electrical, Fire, Green Building Standards, Existing Building, Energy, historical building, and reference standards codes, as well as the International Swimming Pool and Spa Code and the International Property Maintenance Code with amendments thereto and making findings in support thereof. This ordinance was introduced at the regular City Council meeting of January 28, 2023. The recommended action this evening is that the City Council conduct a public hearing, which you've done so already, declare that this subject is not subject to CEQA, and introduce ordinance number 1128 for its second reading, and adopt ordinance number 1128. That concludes staff's report. Staff is available to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions? Roll call, please.
We have a motion by Councilmember Waring, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Van. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Waring?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Schauder?
Yes. Okay, our second public hearing item is 10B. This is an ordinance to the City Council of the City of Staten, amending sections 220.400.33 of the Staten Municipal Code regarding accessory dwelling units and junior accessory dwelling units to ensure consistency with state regulations, and finds these acts to be exempt from California Environmental Quality Act. Anybody from the public would like to address item 10B? Have you received any correspondence?
Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and bring it to the council for any questions.
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, would you like to introduce Ms. Patricia Garcia to introduce and read the staff report to council this evening?
Isn't this the same one we've had? Is this the first reading? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Welcome.
Mayor and members of the City Council, before you tonight, ordinance amend Staten Municipal Code Title 20 in regards to accessory dwelling units and junior accessory dwelling units to ensure consistency. September 2022, the governor signed into law a new bill that would amend the state laws and would come into effect in January 1st of 2023. Due to the approaching date, in November, staff presented an urgency ordinance to City Council which was adopted to serve as an interim ordinance. The proposed zoning code amendment updates zoning code language in regards to ADUs and JADUs found in the attached resolution. Notable changes include the maximum permitted height from 16 feet to 18 feet, and in certain circumstances up to 25 feet, allowing an ADU in the front yard in the event that there is no other location to place, permitting an ADU and even if the property has non-conforming conditions, unless those conditions present a threat to public health and safety, and additional language to ensure compliance with the building code requirements. On January 18th, the Planning Commission recommended City Council approval to amend Staten Municipal Code Title 20, which is the ordinance that you for you today. Ask if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer.
thank you. That was excellent. Don't wait. Just a quick question. Some of the things that we have recently added to our ordinance, were they okay as far as being relatively controlled by the state of California? Are we okay with that?
So the changes that were added were to ensure compliance with regulation. And yes, we're in with these changes, we will be.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Garcia? All right, thank you very much. I'll bring it back to the council. We're going to take four recommended actions. Would you go over those, please?
Sure. We have recommended action number one is City Council conduct a public hearing, which has been completed. Item two is City Council find that this proposed project is exempt from CEQA. Item three is introduced for first reading, ordinance number 1127, which Mr. Garcia has done. And number four is set said ordinance number 1127 for a public hearing and second reading at the next scheduled City Council meeting of February 28th.
Is there a motion? Okay, we have a first by Mr. Taylor, a second by Mr.
Mr. Mayor, once again.
Mr. Torres.
Once again, we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Torres. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes. All right, we'll move on to our unfinished business, item 11A. And this is a Plan Act ARPA project updates and expansion and extensions of ARPA funding public safety pilot program. City Manager.
Yes, good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the council. Staff is excited to bring to you tonight an ARPA update. As a reminder, through the passage of H.R. 1319, the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, also known as ARPA, state, tribal, and local governments received much-needed relief to help offset the negative impacts of COVID-19. The city's coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds allocation was just over $9.1 million, and the full amount must be encumbered by the end of calendar year. So I want to begin with a chart that shows you the analysis of where the ARPA monies have been allocated so far. So you can see on the pie graph above, we have a number of different categories. And I want to make clear that all of these categories in some way or another address COVID-19 impacts that were experienced by our community. But the direct COVID-19 response, specifically in relation to the coverage of sick leave related to COVID-19, cleaning, additional sanitization, those types of activities. Also see in orange, we've spent a significant amount of funds on crime prevention. In yellow, government efficiency and stability, that's through software and additional short-term personnel. Significant amount on homeless outreach and engagement. Green represents quality of life infrastructure and purple quality of life program. And the shaded gray and white area that represents economic development, the bulk of that is actually available for the council to consider programming, which staff will be bringing to you as part of the fiscal year 23-24 budget workshop process due to not purchasing the Bauman's Market property. So I want to begin by highlighting some of the bigger projects that we've spent our ARPA funds on. I won't go through every single one in detail. The council has received updates on a quarterly basis, but of course, if there's questions on any that I don't go in detail, please do ask. I wanted to start with services that have really impacted our community post COVID-19. So we know that counseling, community outreach, and communications has been very important. We're proud to share that the FRC, the Family Resource Center, has been able to partner with a community-based organization to offer counseling services for the period between October 2022 and December 2022, equaling 50 individuals served and over 260 counseling sessions provided. And this can cover a number of topics, including domestic violence, parenting, educational health, mental health. And so there's a wide variety of topics that individuals can have access to counseling. We've also been supporting the senior meal distribution. We have the Second Harvest Food Bank Pantry, the lunch cafe meals, as well as home delivered meals. In addition to wanting to make sure we have healthy foods and healthy mental spaces for our community, we also want to make sure we have healthy places to play. We've spent a significant amount of resources on developing our parks and master plan, which will guide our strategy to deliver parks and open spaces to the community over the long term. And we've had outstanding participation in our community engagement and outreach sessions. As you can see, we've held three distinct workshops on September 30th, October 21st, and November 19th. And we've had great attendance in person and even greater attendance on our online survey. And just as a reminder, our last Parks Master Plan was updated in 2005, so it's certainly due for an upgrade. So the Parks Master Plan sets the strategy for the long term, but we've also allocated funds to do immediate improvements to our park projects today. So we were able to piggyback on top of funds that were already allocated and park projects that were already identified to enhance or augment those projects. So one of them is the Stanton Park redesign. As we discussed, Stanton Park will become the gateway to our new sports park. And so we wanted to make sure we were taking advantage of this opportunity to revitalize and re-energize the whole area. So we included that in the approved scope of work with PBK Architects, and we're currently under review through SoCal Edison. Those plans align with their easement requirements. And Stanton park will include an outdoor fitness court and mural, as the council has already approved. And we're looking at other community desires and wants for other additional amenities that can be added to augment Warm Ross. Premier Park is another park that will benefit from some additional ARPA allocations. So partly because of the impacts of COVID-19 on construction costs, and also because with additional funds we're able to add additional amenities, we'll be able to enhance the design of Premier Park, which is currently at 60% of the plans. And we also wanted to make sure we partnered with some of our most valued community-based organizations, including our Boys and Girls Club right across the street. So if you recall, the city awarded them $250,000 for a bathroom remodeling and improvement plan. And we have been supporting the Boys and Girls Club and trying to get this project off the road. We recently met with Dr. Sue Johnson, one of their board members, and she has graciously also provided some assistance through the Savannah School District Facility Division to help them in terms of identifying the most efficient way to go through the process. So they are excited to be getting this extra support. They're excited to get the project off the ground. They're a little bit nervous where bids are going to come back, but the RFP is planned for March of 2023. So moving away from our parks and open spaces, we also wanted to focus on neighborhood quality of life infrastructure. So there's two areas that the council has currently allocated ARPA funds. One is the blue light security cameras. So we've provided a brief description of these previously. These are the blue lights that you see flashing down beach as you enter the city limits of Anaheim. We've put in a purchase order for 10 lights through we did an RFP process through the city of Anaheim, and these lights will extend down beach, and they've been identified to be placed in key locations, which will provide enhanced security and public safety. In addition, the council approved neighborhood infrastructure improvements to provide some basic but effective physical barriers to some of the areas that we were finding most vandalized or open for illegal dumping. And so we're starting with a very basic fix of implementing and installing guardrails at some locations that people were easily able to drive cars back into. And so on the map, it's a little bit difficult to see, but there's blue dots located on that graphic. And those are the proposed installation points for this first round of funding. And we are currently seeking quotes for those guardrails installation. We are excited to see the improvements in terms of dumping and illegal encampments.
Yeah, let me interject. I think those same posts, if you get a hold of Union Pacific Railroad and let them know that we're doing it, if they want to get in on it, we can put those because that would limit access to automobiles on the railroad right away and keep some people from getting tickets.
And now we want to transition over to the business side of the community. So we were able to hire some temporary positions during fiscal year 22-23. That was the planning manager position and departmental assistant. And with their additional support, we were able to apply for a number of grants, and those are successfully in process, and also host a number of business grand openings. We'd love to highlight, in July of 2022, we welcomed Beach Terrace Assisted Living. In November, we welcomed the upgraded and remodeled Super King. Just this month, we welcomed two new restaurants, Chica's Tacos and Los Seven Mar. So we're very excited for the additional support we have in community development to really pursue these economic development opportunities. And our economic development individual, it's really one dedicated person, is putting together a lot of great ideas for our new director to consider when she starts in 2 weeks. Another area we added additional temporary support was at our police station. We added a crime prevention specialist and an office specialist. So the crime prevention specialist, in addition to being busy supporting staff internally, has been out and about in our community, making presentations, making connections, and building those relationships. She has been at a number of neighborhood watch meetings, and she has been attending a number of business watch meetings, as well as hosting a very well-received active shooter training, which we hosted here at City Hall. and we had great attendance at that and lots of positive feedback from that. So she's continuing to be a liaison with the community, listening to what their wants and needs are, and providing that information or training as it's available. This is one of the most exciting areas of where we've allocated our ARPA funds, which is our homeless outreach coordinators. So the council allocated resources to provide two additional homeless outreach coordinators to the two existing permanent full-time coordinators that we had, and they have been incredibly productive over this period. So the homeless outreach coordinators are really all about offering services and connecting not only the city services, but the county and broader regional services. And you can see based on the statistics from this table that they've been very productive. We've had 277 unique client engagements. We've had a total of 1,025 client engagements. And for those of you following along with best practices related to offering services to the homeless, it takes multiple contacts. It's very rare for somebody to accept services the first time. So some of these may represent conversations 20 times with one individual. Some of these may represent conversations two times. We've successfully placed 19 individuals in either housing or shelter, and that can include interim housing, relocation, or emergency motel assistance. And we successfully referred 28 individuals to health and benefit services. We also, starting in February 1st, which is when the county's cold weather shelter opened up, we were one of the cities that took advantage of that opportunity and transported 40 clients, to the cold weather emergency shelter. And we had one client accept transportation to the county. So again, this is, I think, one of the most impactful for our city. And this leads into our public safety pilot program, which really grew out of an unmet need that we found when we were working with our homeless outreach coordinators. So the council allocated resources to build out this public safety pilot program at the very end of November. And so these statistics focus, so of course they work in a group. We have code enforcement, law enforcement, and the homeless outreach coordinators, and you saw all the statistics for the homeless outreach coordinators previously. This slide focuses on the statistics for the one deputy that we currently have working with the public safety pilot program. So 186 homeless contacts. This is independent of the contacts made by the Hawks. And of those, we've had 8 parole contacts, 21 probation contacts, 19 prostitution contacts, and 103 enforcement activities. And what I think this really highlights is there is a broad spectrum of individuals out there that from the surface appear just to be homeless, but some of them have greater needs and some of them have different actions that would be appropriate. And so with this three-pronged approach, we're really able to hit both the social or all three of the social services, making sure the city's laws and rules are enforced as well as the state and federal laws and rules. We're really excited with how productive this program has been in basically 2 full months, and that's going to lead into an ask that you'll see at the end of this presentation. And I'd like to go over just a couple other high-level projects. Of course, IT maintenance has been an important function post-COVID. We've seen how heavily we all rely on IT to make sure that our work gets done and that to make sure that we're able to connect remote and virtual, and also to make sure that our systems are safe from negative influences or attacks. We've had new firewalls installed and configured. We're working on updating the City Hall fire alarm, and we're happily utilizing the NeoGov recruitment software, which moved us into the 21st century in terms of being able to conduct recruitment activities. On this chart, you'll see just a summary listing of some of the other ARPA projects we've been working on. As I mentioned, some of these fall under the direct COVID-19 response. You see some additional personnel who've helped with our government efficiency and stability. Another one to highlight, we've had a city rebranding and marketing effort. So we reissued that RFP. We got 8 proposals back. Staff will be interviewing the top 3, and we'll be working closely with our subcommittee with the selected firm to identify the next iteration of who we will be as in terms of branding and our PR image. We're also working on the ADA transition plan. So that includes partnering with JPIA, and we will be having a thorough survey of the city to identify all of the opportunities for ADA enhancements that will help us provide a plan to then plan for funding to fund those improvements. Any questions on this slide before I move on? The next slide shows all the projects by status in terms of closeness to completion. So these are subjective categories, but we were trying to give the council a feel for how far along some of these projects are. It took us a minute to get the ball rolling because initially the city's funds were considered through one set of rules that the federal government put out. The federal government then proceeded to review those rules and actually loosened them up to allow more flexibility for local agencies and other governments receiving these funds. So we were then able to shift some of those resources allocated. So it did take us a little bit of time to get everything the way we wanted it, get the council approval, and then move forward. So you'll see we have about $500,000 worth of projects completed, another $600,000 nearing completion, almost $2 million well underway, almost $3 million in development, and then the green portion, again, the council will consider as part of the fiscal year 23-24 budget workshop. So as part of the receive and file for this report, we also do have a request of the council to consider additional funds to be allocated this evening. So we are about halfway through the obligation period, which runs through December of 2024, but we actually have until December of 2026 to expend all the funds as long as they're allocated and identified for a project. We are definitely going to keep tracking those performance milestones for you and reporting back on them, making sure you're aware of the successes and the impacts they're having on the community. And we are prioritizing making sure that the existing projects, whether they're funded through ARPA or not, as we're seeing with some of our CIP, the construction costs are coming in higher than anticipated due to the market. And so we're making sure that all of our projects that the council has already approved and funded, if they need some additional resources to augment existing funding sources, those will be considered in addition to new one-time non-recurring projects. So tonight's immediate ask, as I highlighted, due to the success of the public safety pilot program, and that's currently operating with the homeless outreach coordinators, the code enforcement team under public safety, and we only have one deputy currently assigned from our police department, and that's 40 hours a week. But as you can imagine, we are so productive with one at 40 hours a week, we know we would be even more productive with two. And it would give us more coverage for those other days of the week that we're not hitting. So we are making a request tonight to ask the council to fund, number one, a second sheriff's deputy to be added to the public safety team pilot program. And that funding would go into effect immediately as soon as Chief Walters is able to schedule that individual, so most likely mid-March. And then we are also asking the council to extend the term of the pilot program. It's currently slated to end mid-May, so we're asking for that extension through the end of this fiscal year, June 30th. Then I will bring another proposal for the council to consider for fiscal year 23-24. That's my recommendation, and the fiscal impact will be approximately $86,000 for the additional hours to give us that additional 40 hours of coverage. And that concludes my staff report, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Great, Gary.
I'll give a preliminary answer and then let Mr. Wren. So we do have staff on, we have public safety staff between the homeless outreach coordinators and our code enforcement officers 7 days a week, but I'll let him elaborate on the specific hours.
So I believe we do have sufficient staff for the program. One of the projected, I should say proposed shifts we would be able to cover with. So actually what we had discussed obviously prior to any approval would be a 6-day operation. One of the things that we thought was a key component of this is to provide the opportunity for both pilot program deputies to work together for a 2-day period. So what has been discussed at this time is one deputy would be Monday through Thursday, and then the other deputy would be Wednesday through Saturday. based on conversations with Chief Walters, there would just be an extreme utility with both of those individuals working together. Obviously, 7 days a week always sounds great, but I think that would be the best utilization of these funds, and we will hopefully leave the city in a good enough position on Saturday to make it to Monday. So,
and one of the keys to note why we are requesting 2 days of overlap, because we are focusing, and now we have the resources to focus on the enforcement component when appropriate. We actually do transport individuals to the appropriate facilities, and that does one of our deputies from service. So while the homeless outreach coordinators and code enforcement continue canvassing the city, they're missing out on that access to the deputy when he is transporting individuals to the appropriate facility.
I know that now we're down in outreach coordinators. Do we have new ones in our sites?
Yes, we have currently 3 outreach coordinators. And we are using this opportunity. Mr. Wren is looking at the organizational structure and determining, since we do have a vacancy to fill, what the best way to do that would be. So we have had a lot of interest in our past recruitment, so we're confident that we'll be able to recruit another quality individual. But in the meanwhile, we are able, between the 3 existing homeless outreach coordinators and the code enforcement employees, to cover the shifts. In terms of the pilot program, or?
Pilot program, you've got a deputy, and what else do you have?
I'll let Mr. Wren answer that.
So it does vary quite a bit, obviously, with the deputy. During the deputy shifts, we currently have 2 outreach coordinators scheduled. So both of those individuals are available. And then on the code enforcement side, we have our code enforcement supervisor, and then some form of 2 to 3 code enforcement officers, depending on the day. So in the public safety department, there is solid support of both of the other elements of the 3-prong approach, that being outreach and the deputy.
Anyone else? How soon can we get our other coordinator?
Can you repeat that, please?
How soon can we get our other coordinator?
So today we reached out to an individual that was eligible on a previous list. Based on the results of those conversations, we may have to conduct another recruitment. We have historically been able to turn those over within a week or so to conduct the recruitment and then move forward quickly.
Chief, do we have any deputy that's had training? I know we have some of our officers have gone through this training. It can kind of fill in for a while. Is that possible?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We currently have 3 individuals, or 3 deputy sheriffs that we're looking at. They all have the training for it. It's just a matter of their schedules. They're currently working the midnight shift, so it's just kind of adjusting with their family life. But we have 3 be ready to go by, I believe it's March 10th. That's the first available.
Okay, and that's for the deputy program.
Correct.
Is there anyone that you have on staff that could help fill the void now for temporary?
I have to go back and look at that. We probably could. We are currently faced, due to promotions, due to transfers, we've got some vacancies. We've got 2 that are 2 brand new deputy sheriffs that are going to start in February, and we have another 2 that are going to start in March. So it's all about timing, but I think we could definitely help with that just until we pick somebody, if the council approves it.
Maybe you could, if you would, then get together with Mr. Wren and see if we can at least get 1 to fill our 2 vacancies. That would be great. And also, I would encourage us to hire our new other outreach support deputy as soon as possible.
Sure.
Are we all okay with that?
So you're saying you want a deputy to do the job of a homeless outreach coordinator?
No, I want a trained deputy that has done that before to fill in until we get our personnel. in.
Mayor, members, council, so we currently cover all shifts with three of the four outreach coordinators. We are able to provide 7-day coverage. We are working to expedite the recruitment to bolster that staff and then also prepare in the event there were additional departures.
Okay, and I fully support that, Jim, but my point is that we are having success, and one of the reasons we do that is because we're kind of going over the top and trying to take care of our program in one shot, trying to help people as many as we can in the shortest period of time we can. And if we can do that by having the new people, I would strongly recommend that we get them for success.
So we want the same things, Mayor. And so if you can let staff work, I'll work with Chief Walters, I'll work with Mr. Wren, and we'll make sure that we have proper coverage to make sure there's no gaps.
And by the way, not only has this become effective, but the whole world knows about it. And I think our success is going to bring success to helping the homeless, not only in our community, as we continue to do as we have over the last years, but also in the cities that neighbor us. So you should be very proud of that. It's kind of become, it's kind of rubbed off on all our deputies, even the ones that may have not wanted to participate in helping. And I think that is a sign that the program is a success. So sir, keep up the good work.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jim, also. Okay, we'll go over the, this is a recommended action. We'll go over it, please.
Has stated a recommended action is City Council declare that this item is not subject to CEQA. Receive and file the presentation. Direct staff to proceed with extending the original 6-month pilot program from May to June of 2023 and adding one additional deputy to provide 40 additional hours of coverage per week. And item number 4 is authorize the reallocation of an additional $86,000 from the city's ARPA allocation that is currently allocated for the purchase of property housing opportunities.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to need a motion.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Confirming we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Councilmember Warren. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, new business. This is 12A. We're going to adopt a resolution of intention to hold the first reading of an ordinance to amend the California Public Employees Retirement System contract with the City of Stanton.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the Council. Tonight's item focuses on two things related to the city's contract with the California Public Employees Retirement System. One is our contract has for years been out of date with what is actually allowable practice, and so it's a cleanup. Currently, our contract states that you can exclude persons compensated on an hourly basis from participation in CalPERS, which is illegal. So we have not been following our rule. We have rather been following the law. And the second is CalPERS just recently made a determination on behalf of cities such as Stanton who apply to allow for the exclusions of certain position classifications. In our case, we've requested intern, park ranger, recreation leader, and senior recreation leader to allow us to grant them more hours than the traditionally allowable 1040 without having to enroll them in PERS. So this gives not only the city more flexibility, it gives us more consistency in having fewer employees with more hours, and it gives our employees more hours rather than having to juggle multiple part-time jobs. So that concludes my report. I'm available for any questions.
Okay, this was quite a win for us. Anytime you can get CalPERS to do something to help a city, it's very favorable. You know, one of the things you have to consider is it may be costing them some money because they are responsible for a retirement match and the management of that program. So kudos to the HR department. Let them all know that they've done an excellent job on that. And I will bring it back for a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
And we have a motion by Councilmember Taylor, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Vann. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vann?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes. Okay, at this time, members of the public may address the City Council on any items before our jurisdiction, provided that no action may be taken on non-agenda items. Do we have any written communications?
None, sir.
Okay, we do have a special guest who's going to be introducing himself for the first time to us from the office of Janet Nguyen. I believe he is our district representative. Come on down.
Hello, Honorable Mayor, and hello, City Council. And I believe that it was on 11. It's very nice to meet you. And yes, to answer your question, I am your district rep. It's very nice to be here in Stanton. I have lived here, so I know Stanton very well. So it's nice to meet all of the city administration. I'm sure we'll meet each other soon. If I badge you, I apologize. I want to be able to serve the city and the constituents. If anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer, but it's very nice to meet all of you.
If you come up, we will be more than happy. Donald's going to give you your seat pin, so you'll be official. So you got one, Donald?
Take care of it.
All right. Go ahead, step on up.
It's actually a nice pin.
Thank you
They're in a transition period.
Anyway, he's going to email me his contact. I'll email it to you, and as soon as his cards come in, we'll get you some. Okay, you'll be all set. And also, make sure that all our staff has his contact, too. That would be great. Anyway, thank you for being here this evening. We really appreciate you stopping by. Is there anyone else from the public? Closed public hearings, no written communications. Mayor, Chairman, Council initiated business at this time. Okay. Committee reports, announcements, anything? Okay. Alice, why don't you tell us about Chicas?
Oh, yes. So, Councilmember Gary Taylor and Councilmember Donald Torres and I. As well as a couple of other folks from the city, notably Jim Wren, Hannah, and our other Hannah, was at the ribbon cutting ceremony today. So we were very excited to try their warm drinks. It was very chilly that morning. And they also were very generous and I think gave food for folks to take home. And it was just so amazing to see, you know, a family business take off, and you know, the son was there. He goes to Magnolia High School, which is, you know, a school for a lot of Stanton residents, but he lives right in Anaheim near the border. So it's great to have a business like that in our city, and hopefully they thrive. And they did mention a couple of public safety issues, but I'm sure Jim Wren will be on top of it. So thank you.
Okay, and Donald, you can tell us about Chicas.
Yeah, so we all had the pleasure to go down to Chicas and introduce ourselves and congratulate the new business opening in Rodeo 39. So we had fun, and the tacos were pretty good.
Anyway, there's two more fabulous restaurants in Stanton, so make sure you avail yourselves of them whenever you get an opportunity. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to council items for a future meeting.
I saw your breakdown and everything. We should have set up a meeting or something to talk about that, because what you put down was just the salaries. There's also all the benefits being paid. We need to look at that. We need to look at, not necessarily that we need, but like I looked at Irvine today, and it's $8,400 car allowance. Granted, they make $300 a year less than us, but an $8,400 car allowance that's not taxed, that's a nice benefit. Not that we need anything like that, but it's just something we seem to kind of look at, because we can't give ourselves a raise, but we can help people in the future on the council and make sure that they're compensated. So it's nothing to give us a raise by. We can't do that legally, I understand.
Right. So,
but it's something we should agendize and take a look at.
Yes, so Councilmember Warren had brought that up before, yes. So I was just sending that update just to let you know that I'm working on it, and my intention was to bring it back as part of the fiscal year 23-24 budget workshop when we consider cost of living allowances for all employees and where we are in the market, and so it's definitely part of the package, and Mayor Shaver also brought up that it was incomplete, so we have gone back and filled out some of those other benefits as well. So all of that, all the compensation for council and employees will be all be considered as part of the budget workshop. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to forsake my salary, but they're going to furnish me a Lamborghini. I'll be okay.
Can I understand?
Yeah, yeah. I'll trade it off. One of the things I'd like to consider the feasibility of a safe zone or a zone for our vendors. As you know, vending is becoming very popular in communities throughout Orange County. We have people that are selling food, people are selling different variety of things. I would like for us to maybe look at a way in which we can accommodate that in our community in a central location. The reason for that is, I think it's really hard for, and I'll use this as an example, for a restaurant that sells tacos and tamales and things like that, and when right parked out on the sidewalk in front of their store is a tamale guy selling tamales. So you have a business who's worked in Stanton that pays taxes, that has a business license, that has a health permit, and pays rent to his landlord trying to make it. But yet you have somebody out on the street that's probably selling the same product, which not saying it's bad, it could be even better, for a third of the price. How fair is that to our business community, especially now that we're struggling with the economy the way it is, and it's just coming back from COVID? So I'd like to take a look at maybe developing a program so that we could have a zone to where vendors could apply, they can come in, and kind of make it a drawing point in the community to bring people from the outside into Stanton as a destination, while also making it so that it would be available for our local businesses to also be there, maybe on a certain day, but also it would not interfere with their regular operation. So just something to take a look at. I did have a chance to discuss this with Councilmember Torres. I asked him if he would be interested in taking the leadership role in this, and he said he would. So I'm going to wait to see how the council feels about it at our next meeting. Thank you. All right, is there any other initiated business? Okay, anything for a future study session? Gary, did you want to have a future study session? Okay. Okay, moving on. Our attorney.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I have no items.
Okay, and our executive director.
Yes, I do have one item this evening. I wanted to report back on the Talk on the Block update. So as you know, council was interested in understanding the schedule for this year, and staff has been working internally to identify the way to make these Talk on the Blocks the most effective, impactful, and a good use of staff's time. And so we've decided that in 2023, as we progress through the year, we're going to be looking for communities and public groups that want to hear from us, that we're not imposing ourselves upon. And so we already have a couple lined up. So I'm considering the Northwest Orange County Republican Assembly presentation that's happening this Thursday for public safety to be a Talk on the Block, because it's open to the public and we'll be talking about public safety, an item of interest. And so we welcome any other members of the public who are interested. That's this Thursday, February 16th. Doors open at 6:15 p.m. and it's at the Orco Block headquarters on 11100 Beach Boulevard. After that, in March, we're working with the Lampara Mobile Home Estates. If you remember, we had three residents visit us at the last meeting. I had a chance to speak with two of the three, and I also got the contact information for that park's management.
And so we're identifying dates in March where we will go out with public safety personnel, Orange County Sheriff's Department personnel, and Orange County Fire Authority personnel, as well as myself and other staff, to do a presentation on the timeline that they're requesting, which is between 2 to 6 p.m. at their community clubhouse. And then we've also been in conversations with Park Place Apartments property management and their residents, who are also requesting a talk on the block at their location. So again, we'll be going to them, and that will be in either April or May. So I think they're happening organically. If you know of other groups, neighborhoods, I know we visited the Wedge last year in November. We're happy to go out, and we're happy to tailor our presentation to whatever is of the greatest interest to that particular community. So please continue to send those requests through me, and we will also be canvassing the community for other interested groups.
Thank you. One of the other things on our talk on the block, I thought maybe it might be behoove us to also invite the local field representatives from our elected officials to be there. We have our chief. We have our staff, we have you, we have us. I think it'd be good to have somebody from State Senator's office, somebody from Lou Correa's office, somebody from our Assemblyman's office, and also from Doug Chafee's office. That way we'll all, I mean, it's good because some things we can't solve, but they can. It's at their level. So rather than having everybody do it separately, let's do it as a group. I think they would appreciate that very much. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot tonight. I would like you to give a report on your new council training that you went to and how it worked out.
Our conference that we went to at the Universal.
Oh, yes. I got to learn a lot. I got to go with...
Put your mic up, sir.
Oh, yes. I got to go with our city manager. It was really, really good. I got to learn a lot, and I learned that... city council member's best friend should be the city manager. So that's pretty good.
Thank you. And did you have anything to report from your meeting?
Yeah, it was just very informative, and they do a great job of, you know, it's a lot of content over a short period of time, and it can be overwhelming, I think, for new council members. They did a great job of finding speakers who kept it light and funny, and they had skits of the worst possible council meeting to highlight the rules and things that you need to follow. It was very well done.
Okay, great. The only other announcement is I'm and you're going to be very happy, Zinnia, I'm taking a short hiatus from Monster Food Drives. I'm still working with churches, schools, and charities, but I'm kind of slowing down a little bit. So we'll get back to that, and the Boy Scouts helping me. So just so I give you the good news. So you have more time to finish the bathroom doors in the park. All right, everybody, anything else? Anything else, staff? Okay.
Oh,
good night,
sure,
everybody.
Mayor, we do have
fire authority.
Your favorite group.
I was just wondering.
Strike two. That's okay. Strike two.
Okay. Yeah, well, I still only have a jacket from you because the sheriff's department hasn't given me one yet, so you're okay, so go ahead.
And you're still discounting me and my and members of the Orange County Fire Authority. So good evening, Honorable Mayor, council members, and city staff. This is my report for January 2023. For the Orange County Fire Authority. In the month of January, we ran a total of 384 incidents within the city boundaries of Stanton. 11 of those were fire calls, related calls, 344 were medical aids, and 29 of those were hazardous conditions or service calls. And then in the unincorporated area of Orange County, serviced by Engine and Medic Squad 46, we ran a total of 71 incidents. Three of those were fires, 68 were medical related, and then zero were hazardous materials or service calls. There were two notable fire incidents that occurred in January in the city of Stanton and also the unincorporated area of Orange County. The first one on January 6th, around 12:06 in the afternoon, our dispatch center received multiple reports of a garage fire. While the crews were en route, they were getting updated reports from our dispatch center that there's explosions being heard in the garage. So the fire was upgraded to a what we call a working structure fire response. We get an enhanced additional units. First arriving companies arrived within 5 minutes of dispatch and reported that a heavy black smoke showing from a working garage fire. And this was in a detached garage apartment complex. We have the residents in the detached garages together. Crews quickly engaged in knocking down the fire. And we're happy to report that they were able to contain the fire to the garage units and prevented any extension to the residences, other than some minor smoke damage. From that incident, Red Cross was requested due to that smoke damage, displaced four adults and one child. So Red Cross came out and assisted with that. Another notable incident from that fire is while crews were extinguishing the fire and working around the area, one of the first arriving engine company captains looked down on the ground and saw an envelope stacked with cash. And it was reported, I think it was a total of $18,000 in cash that one of the fleeing residents grabbed from their home and dropped it. So they turned it over to the Orange County Sheriff's officers there on scene and were able to find the rightful owner of that and return that property back to them, which was a great notable circumstance that came out of that fire, because obviously this person's in fear of losing everything and they almost probably lost their entire life savings at the blink of an eye. From that fire, the damage was pretty minimal. The estimated fire damage is about $25,000 to the actual structure of the garage and about $10,000 to the contents. Then on January 31st, our dispatch center received another report of a structure fire involving a garage. Actually pretty close to the original incident I talked about at 8331 Cerritos Avenue. Once again, while crews are en route, they started receiving multiple reports of the fire as well as fireworks exploding in the garage. Crews arrived on scene on that fire and were able to quickly knock it down. And since it was a detached garage, they were able to prevent any spread to the residents, which is great because, I mean, it's tragic they lost the contents of the garage and there's damage to that structure, but they didn't have to move out of their house due to fire damage or were temporarily find housing. That fire was a little bit more extensive in damage. It was estimated about $100,000 to the actual structure of the garage and approximately $50,000 to the contents of the garage. And then that fire, the first fire I talked about, they weren't able to determine the cause just because there's so many competing causes of that fire for sources. The second fire, the investigators, they couldn't rule out between either improperly discarded smoking materials or an electrical failure of like a multi-plug adapter. And a lot of times at these fires, they can rule down an area, but there could be competing sources of ignition. So sometimes without, you know, really concrete evidence, they can't rule out between one or the other. As far as some upcoming OCFA events, the first one I want to highlight here is we're happy to report after a three-year hiatus due to the COVID pandemic, we're going to be opening up our regional headquarters in Irvine for our annual open house. This event is attended by approximately 3,000 to 4,000 people of the communities we serve. It's a fantastic event. It's going to be on Saturday, March the 4th from 10 to 3. At that event, there's programs and presentations for adults, for children. We teach exit drills in the homes, fire safety around the home. We talk about community risk reduction and fire, you know, vegetation fire safety for communities that live out in the urban interface, as well as there's going to be live presentations. They'll do usually a fire extinguisher presentation, some live fire demonstrations where they'll actually light a structure on fire and have crews come in to respond and put it out. We have a couple of, we're very unique. We have our urban search and rescue canine and our arson canine. So they'll do live demonstrations with those canines and how they work. And then also it's gonna be the debut of our newly purchased community education and fire safety trailer. So this trailer, it was FEMA funded through a grant. It's approximately like a 45-foot fifth wheel trailer. And in it has a, you know, kitchen, a barbecue, heated door simulator like for a house fire. It's all built around community education, and they can do different props with the kitchen fire and the barbecue fire and show people how to turn off, you know, gas stove or how to turn off the gas at their meter. And the great thing about this trailer, it's available to all the communities that we serve. So this is gonna be the debut of it, but following this debut in March, it will be available for future community events that are surrounding public safety. So we're very happy to share that with our citizens. Next, I'd like to talk about upcoming promotion. So one he's a dear friend of mine, Fire Captain Mike Ian, but he was also my administrative fire captain before he was sent back to the field due to staffing shortages. But Mike was also a long-term fire captain out of Fire Station 46 for several years. So I'm happy to announce that Mike, he'll be promoted to battalion chief. That'll be take place on February 23rd. We're going to have a promotional ceremony during our board of directors meeting or before that. And I'm happy to say that Mike will be assigned to Battalion 11 here in Garden Grove, which responds into this area a lot. So I'm happy to see Mike promote, but I'm happy also we'll still see him around on calls and not completely miss out on him for that. Additionally, I'd like to report, obviously during the election year, we brought on several new council members. One of the things a couple of the division chiefs, myself and some of the other division chiefs created was a kind of like a OCFA information orientation pamphlet or booklet. It's just kind of start those, provide that orientation to those new board of director members. Obviously, Mayor Schauer has been on our board for several years and knows the ins and outs of the authority. So this is our way of kind of our onboarding process. After we created it, we realized that there's a lot of value to that for all of our council members. For those of you who don't serve on our board of directors, to give you a little bit more orientation to the agency itself, and then also talk about more specifics about this division and then all the way down to the city and some of the city statistics. So following the meeting, I have one of those to hand out to each of the new council members, the new council member, Torres, and also one for you, Hannah, as well. Like I said, it's just a general information packet. Then obviously if there's at any time, if you have any questions or want additional information, I'll be more than happy to present that to you. Lastly, for my closing remarks, I'd like to close out tonight in an honor and respect of one of our former division chiefs, Ron Roberts. Tragically, Ron Roberts, he retired this past October of 2022. And on February 9th, while on vacation with his wife in Costa Rica, he tragically lost his life in an ocean-related incident. Ron was he was a friend, he was a mentor. He served over 40 years in the fire service. He began originally back in with Westminster Fire Department and then transitioned to the Orange County Fire Authority in 1995. He was retired. He rose up through the ranks and retired out. His last post position was division chief in Division One, overseeing our neighbors in Garden Grove, Rossmore, Los Alamitos, Westminster, and Midway City. And like I said, Ron, he was beloved by his coworkers and by his city staff. As represented at his recent retirement, all the city staff came and acknowledged him and all had, really nice, kind words to say about Ron. He was truly a servant leader. And for me, he was a personal friend and mentor. Ron and I served on Cal Fire Incident Management Team 6 for over 8 years, traveled up and down the state on some of the largest wildfires in California, and he will truly be missed. And I'd like to just honor him and pay some respects to him tonight by closing out my report in honor of Ron. And that concludes my report for January. And I'm open to any questions or comments.
Thank you. I was going to, and I will, adjourn tonight's meeting in honor of Ron Roberts within the OCFA. We'll be getting a certificate from the city, from our city clerk for the family. So Chief, if you'll make sure they get that, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely, okay. I will do.
Okay, thank you. Good night, everybody, and happy Valentine's Day. Go home, eat your box of chocolates.